smartphone, DSTV channel 856 and on 92.7 and 106 FM.
This is 702.
So, Nikki Bush, have you ever bought counterfeit tackies?
I have to be honest, no, I haven't. But that's probably because I don't go for big brand tackies.
Hey, you never know. I'm supposing if you only buy from a normal retail outlet, your chances are that you are getting the real McCoy. But really, the amount that people are paying for counterfeit sneakers, buying things on Instagram and Twitter, leaving them with a real bad taste in their mouth. But I digress. We're here to talk about parenting. And Nikki, what do you make of the fact that kids are going to be at home once more with clothes being with schools being closed for another 4 weeks?
Yeah, this is a wow. It's going to knock the family out of routine yet again. And I think that is, it's going to upset the apple cart. That would be the saying. You know, I think parents have just got used to their children being back at school, certainly for those whose children are in the grades that went back. And they were just getting used to this new or abnormal new normal, because school is not the same as it was, obviously, with social distancing and all the various safety protocols that have to be observed. And kids were just getting into the groove, and parents were just getting into the rhythm of their kids being back, and now they've been brought back home, or from Monday they will be home yet again. And what this does is it just destroys the routine that they were starting to develop. And routine is made up of it's what's regular in the day. What happens now, what happens next, and what happens after that. So it's the order of things, and sleep is part of the order of the day. So having a regular awake time and a regular go-to-bed time is part of a good routine. It's what gives children stability. It's what provides some kind of predictability in the day. And so here we are now in kind of the semi-school holiday situation again, which really is putting a cat amongst the pigeons. And now parents have to go back to the drawing board. What do they do with their children? What happens to bedtime during this sort of quasi-holiday time? Is it holiday time? Are children coming home with work to do? And for every school, it's going to be something different.
Yeah, I mean, it's a unique challenge. And if you don't have a support system to fall back on, like a granny or a grandpa or an aunt or anybody really, a family member or a friend to try and help you if you have to go back to work, I mean, what choice are you left with but leaving your kids at home?
Yeah, it is. It's a serious challenge. And I think that is one of the biggest dangers, of course, is the parents who've gone back to work, or people who have to work in order to put bread on the table. We're going to find a lot of children home alone. And what that means, of course, is should they have access to technology, that's where they will be, in front of a screen all day. If they don't have access to technology, well, they may be either locked in a room, in a home, unable to get out, or they may be roaming the streets. So these are issues. It's a massive minefield right now. And if you've watched any of the news over the past couple of days, I mean, people really are up in arms.
So let's talk about the things that you can control, right? Your routine may well have been upended within your family unit. Your kids don't know whether or not they're Arthur or Martha, but what you can try and do is focus on the basics. And one of the real basics, I would regard it as a basic human need, necessity, right, whichever way you want to call it, sleeping.
Yes. And, you know, anybody who's become a parent will understand the importance of sleep, because the day you become a parent, you become a member of the Sleepless Nights Club. And that's all about sleep deprivation. And I think until you become a parent, you have no idea what that feels like. And it's really an uncomfortable space to be in, where you're not getting enough sleep. Your irritability goes up, your performance goes down, you have a short fuse, you don't make the best decisions. So we know as adults, intuitively, inherently, that sleep is a very, very good thing. But our children today, on a normal day, let alone a COVID day, are not getting enough sleep. And in fact, I work a lot with schools and teachers, and they continually report that children are arriving at school tired and unable to concentrate. This is at 8 o'clock in the morning. And children really do need a lot more sleep than we really think. So let me give you an idea of the amount of sleep children really need. So if you have a child under the age of 3, they are needing about 14 hours of sleep in a day.
14?
14. And for the under 5s, 11 to 13 hours of sleep. So this is according to the Sleep Institute in the U.S. And for 5 to 10-year-olds, 10 to 11 hours of sleep. And for 10-year-olds and up, 9 hours or more. That's a lot of sleep. And we know that children are not getting that amount of sleep. And there are some very interesting reasons why they're not getting that sleep. And maybe we should talk about those reasons, and then we can talk about why sleep is so essential.
Yeah, and also how we can go about trying to factor that in, because I'm 14 hours in one go, not always possible. You'd have to break that up with a nap here and there.
Well, when they're little, there should be plenty of naps throughout the day. And, you know, I think the misnomer that we are under is that sleep's important for the body to have rest. Yes, it is. It's also important for the body's immune system. And right now with COVID-19, we need to give our bodies the benefit of having the strongest immune system possible. So rest is important. It's also important for children for their growth. So they grow in the night. So immunity, growth, strength. And there's another thing here, and it's about memory. Now, we send our children to school to learn, don't we? But we sabotage their learning by not ensuring that they get enough sleep. Because what happens is, and the brain is the most brilliant organ in the body, we don't give it credit and we don't give it enough sleep, is when you go into that initial 45 minutes of sleep, which is that rapid eye movement sleep, where you're not in a deep sleep, that light sleep. Light sleep enables the brain to replay what happened in the day. So if a child, for example, learned how to ride a bicycle in the day, in those first 45 minutes of sleep, the brain will replay it. So what it's doing is it's strengthening the neurological pathway of how to ride a bicycle without you physically having to ride the bicycle. Isn't that brilliant? And then when you go into the deep sleep, it then processes that information and finds a place to file the experience. So there is so much going on in this brilliant brain when we allow the body to sleep. The brain is actually at work while the body is sleeping. But if we don't give the body time to rest, then the brain never has the opportunity to make sense of what happened during the day, and then to shift the information from working memory and short-term memory into long-term memory. And that would be the same for, say, a matriculant who's studying. They need sleep for their brain to make sense of what they studied during the day.
So, Nikki, you make it sound so easy, right? We know it's well documented that as you get older, your stresses in life increase and your ability to get a good night's sleep is very often curtailed. But this is also the same for younger members of the human race, be they children under 10 or teenagers. How do you try and factor that in for young kids and, of course, also teenagers as well?
Right. So what's important is that we have bedtime rituals. And our body and our brain needs to know that the end of the day has come. And one of the things that gives, certainly I use this one as a signal, but it's you know, part of routine, we mentioned routine right at the beginning, is that certain things happen that start signaling to the brain that the end of the day has come and it needs to start slowing down and letting go. So the first thing is perhaps a bath, or if it's not a bath, after dinner, it's brushing the teeth, washing the face and the hands, and just signaling the body that it's time to slow down. For children, story time. So after they've had their dinner, their bath, they've done their homework, maybe they've watched some TV or something. You know, there's certain kind of things that happen as you head towards the end of the day that you go and you do story time. And story time is a slowing down process. Firstly, there's your voice. And by the way, kids right up until the age of 10, 11 still enjoy story time. Don't think that that's only something for very, very young children. And the reason is this. Your voice as an adult is very, very soothing to your child. Also, reading a story helps them to switch track in their head. So if they've had a stressful day, it's taking them into fantasy lands, into another place. And then if you've got more than one child, you realize that every child has their own favorite bedtime rituals. This one likes having their face tickled. That one likes having their back tickled. And then there's singing songs and lullabies. And those are there for a reason. Once again, it's a signal, and it's that slowing down. It's your voice. A parent's voice to a child is like balm. It's soothing. So bedtime rituals are important, and there's another one because of technology. So one of the reasons why our sleep is being disturbed is that we are watching TV or gaming or sitting on our computers until late at night just before we go to bed. Or you take an older child who's maybe been studying in the evening, and then in order to relax, they go and watch some TV just before they go to bed. There are some issues with that, some very serious issues, some physiological and mental issues. If you actually go and watch TV or do some gaming straight after you've studied, you wipe out between 10 and 20% of the content you've just learned, and you will not know which 10 or 20% you've knocked out until you sit in the test or the exam the next day, because that is the power of the blue light on the screen. And we are actually recommending worldwide, it's recommended that for 30 to 60 minutes before one goes to bed, one should not be on any form of screen, because the blue light interferes with the production of melatonin, which is the sleep hormone. In fact, there are these sleep spec glasses that you can get, which are anti-blue light blocking glasses. And I've been on some Zoom calls, which sometimes go on until, you know, 8, 9 at night. And those people I know who are very into their sleep are sitting with these red glasses on during our Zoom calls, because they're already giving their brain the hour before bed to start producing its own melatonin, which then makes you feel sleepy. So technology is a big thing, and one of the things that's happening, because parents are so tired and they are not putting the boundaries in place of a good bedtime, regular bedtime, and a regular go-to-sleep time, is that many children are left up, after parents have gone to bed, children are left up watching TV by themselves. Now, that has two issues. One, you don't know what time your children are going to sleep, and they are falling asleep in front of TV, maybe, and the third thing is that you don't know what content they're actually engaging in. They could be going to bed or falling asleep watching something really scary or inappropriate, which could also then impact on the quality of the sleep they're actually getting.
Well, Nikki, not only is sleep important and has been for time immemorial, but it's importance is once again underlined during COVID-19, global pandemic, really dictating that we need to try and keep as healthy as possible. And a great immune booster is sleep.
Believe it or not, you know, and actually sleep is free. We don't have to necessarily go and buy a bottle of something to make us sleep. But it is about creating a family culture around sleep. And if there are things that are worrying you, so there are a couple of things that one can do to help kind of position or get the worries out. You see, if children are going to sleep worrying about stuff that they haven't spoken about, then it really bothers them. If they have the opportunity to share what's troubling them and to label the emotions, they will sleep better. So I do suggest that parents play the sweets and sours game at the end of the day, so perhaps around the dinner table or when they're having dinner. And I don't care whether you're having dinner around the dinner table, the kitchen table, the coffee table, or on the ground sitting on a blanket. But if you can switch off all devices while you're having dinner and really connect as human beings and then share. So the first round is anything that didn't make you feel good. So it's the sour of the day. So sharing one thing that happened in your day that was not great and how it made you feel. So labeling the feeling. And then the second round, everybody gets to say one thing that was good about their day and labeling the feeling. That helps to put the day on the table. It helps the child to be seen, to be heard, and to be taken seriously. And then you could play, if something really big is going down, you could play the game called Worst Case Scenario, where you get to catastrophize about something. So if a child is really, really worried about a test or an exam, where you really look at with them, so what's the worst case scenario here? What could happen if you don't study? What could happen if, et cetera? And often, that helps children to put something in perspective because things are really quite as bad as their imaginations make it out to be. So that's an excellent thing to be able to do. It's a tool for parents to help their children. And just always remember that the brain is actually the most clever organ in the body. We just need to make sure that it gets enough rest, enough water. Very, very important that our brains get enough water. And that's one of the things that we forget on a regular basis, is that 80% of the brain is made up of water. The first organ to dehydrate is the brain. And in winter, we forget to drink water. And if a child's going to sleep thirsty, that will also wake them up as well.
So, Nikki, as we end off things, your toy for this week is a crayon that you can use in the bath.
That's right. And the reason why I have chosen to talk about bath crayons is because we spoke about having a bath as part of the sleep process, of the slowing down of the day. And bathing is a multi-sensory experience, and it's a whole body experience because the skin is the biggest organ of the body, and it's the sense of touch. And what you can do to make bath time more fun is provide children with a set of bath crayons. So these are from Tiger Tribe, and they're 130 Rand for a box of eight. They come with a cleaning cloth as well. And you can use them in the bath to write on the side of the bath, or if you've got those old, very shiny, sealed ceramic tiles in the bathroom, your kids can write on the ceramic tiles as well. And then you just literally wipe clean with a wet cloth. And it's fantastic for creativity. Children can create drawings, etc., but also for the older child who's, say, 7 or 8 and learning spelling words or doing first math sums, plus and minus, or the older child who's doing multiplication or division, and even the much older child who's now, say, 11 or 12 or 13, who's studying history, biology, facts, okay? They can even do their studies on the mirror in the bathroom, on the side of the bath. And you know, because it's a multi-sensory learning experience, because water's involved, that feeling on the skin, it's highly memorable. Children who actually learn their spelling words in the bath with bath crayons, writing them on the bottom of the bath, underwater, on the side of the bath, often get full marks for the test because it's been a multi-sensory experience. They're using more than one sense when they're actually in the learning process, and that helps the memory. It helps you to remember more because you're remembering in technicolor. So once again, we go back to the brilliance of the brain and making sure that we do what we need to do to help our children to take in information, absorb it, file it, and then access or retrieve it when they need to. These crayons are available through timelesstoys.co.za, and I would say every child under the age of 10 should have a box of bath crayons.
Nikki Bush, always good speaking to you, especially taking those notes for myself, expecting Dad around the corner. You have a great weekend and we'll chat soon.
Yay, Nicholas. Thanks so much. Bye.
Nikki Bush, our parenting expert on 702 Weekend Breakfast.